The fifth aliyah of Parshas Kedoshim is different than the rest of the Parsha in that it seems to focus mostly or possibly completely on one theme, and that is the theme of Maver Zara Lamoach. And here, it may not be what it seems to be at first. Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch comments that here you have what actually overlaps and themed with two of the big three averos that are Yehari V'Yavor, in that this represents both Avodah Zarah, idolatry, and also Gilui Arayos, in that this is a offering to idols, so to foreign gods, so it's got aspects of Avodah Zarah, and it also has something in common with Gilui Arayos, in that it denies the value of the product of the physical relationship, in the sense that it is taking a child and misdirecting it. So one might have thought that this is not your initial impression, because the one that's missing here is Ritzicha, Shvichas Damim, and that would have come to mind first as what's involved in Mavre Beno L'Moloch. However, it's not 100% clear that that's what's going on. The Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin on Daf Samach Dalet Amid Beis discusses this issur, and it's not 100% clear that the child is actually being sacrificed in the fatal sense. The Gemara talks about passing him over the fire, but not necessarily actually burning him, although there are other sources which do make it sound as if the child is being sacrificed. So it's not 100% clear if that is necessarily involved in this Avera specifically, although one way or another, it is clearly a misdirection of the product of the physical relationship, and in that sense, it has something in common, at least with Gilui Arayos, and certainly with Avodah Zarah. So the language of these opening psukim is Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Lemor Vel Bnei Yisrael Tomar Ish Ish Bnei Yisrael Umenager Hagar Bisrael Asher Yitain Mizaro Lamolach Mos Yumas Am Haaretz Yirgamuhu Ba'Oven. So here, the language of Sher Yitain Mibno L'Molech, so that Gemara over there in Sanhedrin has the explanation that the language here is Mibne, so Mibne Yisrael, but also Mizaro, that he gives from his children. So the Gemara says Mizaro, but not all of his children. So that seems to be a surprising exclusion. One would think that if this applies to one who gives one of his children, so all the more so it should apply to one who gives all of his children, which would clearly seem to be worse. And the Rashba discusses this in his Tshuvas, in Chelek Dalet and Siman Yud Dalet, where he quotes the Smag as explaining that one who would give all of his children to this end is completely evil, and therefore shouldn't even get the kapara that comes with Vichy of Misa. And the same principle is in the Das Kenim in Perich of Dalit. And this is evocative. There's a similar explanation the Maharsha gives to the idea of Einon Shem Min Hadin, the fact that we can't figure out a punishment from a Kal V'Chomer, that even if it may seem that one Avera is clearly worse than the other, we can't assume that the Onesh necessarily applies to the worst Avera. And the Maharsha explains, because the punishment is a kapara, and therefore if an avera is worse, it doesn't necessarily get the kapara that comes from the avera that is apparently less severe. So to hear, that seems to be what the Rashba is saying, that there is a greater evil involved, and therefore the kapara that comes along with the Chi of Misa here isn't going to come to this individual. However, there's a little bit of a question of the Girsa and the Rashba, because the language in some texts is not necessarily that he's evil, but that he's a shote, in which case one might understand it in a different sense, that he is exempt because he's not of his right mind, and perhaps that's why the punishment doesn't apply. There are other explanations as well, and Rav Vital Rudinsky has a sicha about this in his sefer, where he suggests that the worst thing, the most dangerous thing, is somebody who is iffy, who goes in both directions, in the sense of what Eliyahu said, Ad Masai Atem Poschim Al Shnei HaSeifim, that somebody who is going in both directions and who's not clearly one way or the other poses a greater danger than one who is clearly totally evil. And that's why the Pasuk identifies such a person in that sense. The Sefer Achinuch is unsure whether this particular context and all of its details applies to the mother of the child also, or whether it's only specifically the father, why it should be that there should be any distinction is not necessarily obvious. There's a discussion about this in the Sefer Chavetz HaSharon, who suggests that maybe the Pasuk is describing a very specific format here of the father giving over his offspring. And in that sense, it also comes to include Mamzer, Chazal tell us, because it's not only legitimate offspring, but also illegitimate offspring. It's a specific format of what we're talking about. And therefore, it may have details that are not necessarily purely intuitive. So the next pasuk continues, Vani etain es panai ba'ishahu, v'hichrati oso mikarev amo, ki mizaro nasam amolech, laman tame es mikdashi, ulechalel es shem kodshi. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to turn my attention to this person, and I am going to cut him off from the people because of what he has done here, and that he has brought Tumah to the Mikdash, and that he has been Michalel, my Kodesh. So here, the Ramban has a fascinating comparison, and he writes that you have caused the divine presence to leave the Jewish people, and he compares it to what Chazal say of Kol Hanena Me'olam Hazeh Belo Bracha Ki'ilu Mol. And that comparison requires a little bit of explanation, because the intuitive understanding, perhaps, that one might have of that Maimer Chazal, the way the Maharsha and others understand it, is that the issue of eating without a bracha is that one is stealing from God. And if that's the case, so then that leads you down one direction. But the way others understand it is that you are stealing the bracha, that it was an opportunity for Kedusha in this world, and you are depriving God of the bracha that should have come together with that opportunity. And that explains certain halachos, for example, the idea that we say, Safik brachos lahakel, that if we're not sure that there's an obligation of a bracha, we are able to act leniently. And Rabbi Kiva Eger, in his comments to the first paragraph of Masechus Brachos on Daf Yud Beis, discusses the question and takes the position that we should be machmir before eating without a bracha, because would seem to be prohibited to eat without a bracha, and therefore, how could one be mekel? And others disagreed, because they understood that the chi of bracha only comes when there is an obligation, and therefore it wouldn't be considered a violation of this Maimer Chazal if there is no chiv in the first place. So therefore, it's not that there's an act of stealing from God without the bracha, but the problem is stealing the bracha when there is a chiv. So the nature of the comparison here, and this is a discussion at great length here in this pasuk, in the Sefer Laharos Nasan, and the Parsha, and also in the Sefer Sam Derech, and the Parsha has lengthy discussions about this comparison, but the point seems to be that they are a denial and misdirection of God's blessing in the world, in the sense of what we started noting in the beginning of the Aliyah, that that is a big part of what is included in this Aveira, and that is what this comparison is meant to represent. So just to go to the end of the Aliyah, it sounds like essentially the Aliyah is focused on this theme completely, and would seem to extend to the last pasuk as well, V'hiskadishtem Yisem Kedoshim, Ki Ani Hashem Elokeichem, so you shall keep yourselves holy and remain holy, because I am God. And Rashi comments here, Zo Prishas Avodas Elilim, that this is staying away from Avodah Zarah, apparently keeping within the same theme, and this is also consistent with how Rashi comments in the beginning of the Parsha, that Kedoshim Tiyu, the language of Kedusha, means Prisha Min Harayos, and Prisha Min Ha'avera, so it would be a consistent interpretation. Should just be noted, though, as the Torah Tamimah discusses, there is some ambiguity about the application of this pasuk. The Gemara in Masechus Brachos on Daf Nun Gimel Beis also invokes a pasuk, which may be this one, as a source for Mayim Achronim, where the Gemara talks about V'hiskadishtem, V'yisem Kedoshim, as a reference to Mayim Rishonim and Mayim Achronim, although it's a question whether it's a reference to this pasuk, or perhaps the pasuk in Perek Yud Aleph, which is actually a reference to Tumah and Tahorah, but ends differently, and here this is a reference to Avodah Zarah, so there is some debate as to whether there is, on any level, an asmachta or otherwise, an allusion here to themes of Mayim Rishonim and Mayim Achronim, certainly a much more common and labidic topic, but it seems otherwise that there is one unified theme in this Aliyah, the idea of Molech and staying away from all of its implicated themes, which may or not involve Ritzicha, but also involve more subtler themes of avoiding the underlying messages of Kilei Arayos and, more overtly, of Avodah Zarah.